I remember when my grandparents were still alive, sitting at my grandparents' dining room table, and on the table was a old-time radio with the RCA insignia on it, and most of us remember what that insignia was. Little image. It was an old gramophone with the great big horn on it, and the little dog sitting there listening to it with its ear cocked to one side. If you remember the RCA gramophones and record players and radios, you'll remember that little icon. Well, that little image was very significant. That wasn't just chosen out of the blue. Let me tell you where it came from. That image, which is owned by the RCA Victor Record Company, was taken from a painting by an English artist, Francis Barreau, I think is how it's pronounced. The dog, whose name was Nipper, had been owned by Barreau's brother, who had recorded his voice on early phonograph records. Well, after the brother died, Barreau inherited Nipper and the gramophone and the records. Whenever the records with Nipper's master's voice were played, the dog would sit in front of the gramophone listening to his master's voice. And that's where that image comes from. That's a beautiful image of the relationship between Jesus Christ and us, because he's gone away from earth. He's no longer here, so we can't physically hear his voice anymore. So what do we do? Well, we sit in front of his word and listen to his voice to see what he has to say to us. That's why we have the Bible, so we can hear Jesus, hear what he has to say, hear what he wants to do for us. And it's here until he comes again. And we don't know when he's going to come again, but we have it until that time. And of course, at that time, we won't need the Bible anymore, because we will have God, we'll have Jesus, we'll be able to hear them personally. The question is, how easily can you pick out the Master's voice from all the others? There's a lot of people wanting our attention. And the only way we'll know what the Master's voice is by looking in God's Word. I don't understand why, since this is the only way we can listen to Jesus' voice, why we don't want to read it more than we do. Because if we miss him, and hopefully we all do, we can't see him physically, we can't be with him physically, we can't listen to him physically, then what we have left is that recording. We have a recording of Jesus. And that recording goes all the way back to Genesis and goes all the way to Revelation, but it's a recording of his voice, and it's the only way we can know what Jesus wants of us. It's the only way we can know about why he died and what he died for. It's the only way we can know the value of that kingdom for which he died, that kingdom of which he is the king. And it's that value, that worth of that kingdom, that for which he died, that I want to look at this morning in another one of those kingdom parables found in Matthew chapter 13. These are two of the shortest parables on record. Sometimes they're called the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. They both teach essentially the same lesson, but there is one major difference between the two of them. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13 then, as we are going to look at, first of all, the hidden treasure, verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44. It's only one verse long. Matthew 13, verse 44 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." And of course, people living in the first century would understand this practice, because they didn't have the banks and the burglar-proof boxes and all of that. And so since it was common for thieves to break through and steal, as Jesus mentioned, says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Because thieves can break in and steal. So what did people in the first century do? One of the most common practices was to take whatever you felt was the most valuable item you possessed, and you go take and bury it somewhere. And the likelihood of anybody finding it is remote. So that's where this treasure was. It had been buried by someone, okay? It had been buried by a man there in a field. Why? To protect it. And it was very, very valuable. So Jesus takes this common practice, as he did so often, he takes this common practice and applies it spiritually. He says that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is like this hidden treasure. It is extremely valuable. So this man finds the treasure, and apparently he finds it accidentally. You can find the kingdom accidentally? You sure can. People in the New Testament found it accidentally. Probably the one we think of more than anybody is Saul of Tarsus. He found the kingdom accidentally. He wasn't looking for the kingdom in any way, shape, or form. He wasn't looking for the church to be a part of it, to find out how valuable it was. He was on a road. And he was on a road with the express purpose of trying to find people in that kingdom and drag them away to prison. He wasn't looking for the kingdom, but guess what? The kingdom found him in a big way. Found him in a miraculous way. He found the kingdom accidentally. Other people found the kingdom accidentally. Samaritan woman. Remember John chapter 4? The Samaritan woman comes to the well. She has no idea what's going to happen to her. She comes to the well just to get some water. Well, she sees this man standing there. She has no idea who he is, why he's there, his background, nothing. She wasn't looking for the kingdom that day, but the kingdom found her. And Jesus taught her some incredibly important, valuable lessons. Jesus showed to her that he could read her mind. He knew her past, he knew her history without her saying a word. So she knew there was something special about him. She found this kingdom and didn't even realize what was going to happen to her that day. She had no idea when she woke up that morning that she was going to talk to the Messiah. She had no idea she was going to talk to a divine being, but she did, but it was accidentally. And Jesus said there was this man who accidentally, without purpose, found a treasure. God sometimes is found by those people who didn't set out to find him. But it says that this guy found joy. He found joy. Why did he find joy? Because he had found the most valuable thing he had ever known. I guess I'm like all preachers in the sense that I'd love to see this lesson change who you are. That's really what I want. That's why I chose this lesson. I want it to change who you are. I want it to change how you think about the kingdom. There's many people in the world that and there's many people in the church that have no idea how valuable what they have is. Why? Because they just leave it lying around. They do. They just take the kingdom and they just leave it lying around. And what does that signify? That you don't consider it very valuable. That's what it means. And that's how I want this lesson to change you. I want you to realize how valuable what you have really is. This man, it says, for joy. For joy, that's what he found. Because he realized how important it was and how valuable it was. Even though he didn't look for it and he didn't seek it, he found it accidentally. But once he found it, then he wasn't going to do anything to give it up. He wanted to protect it. He knew how valuable it was. And so what did he do? It says he went and sold all that he had so he could get it. All that he had. That's an awful lot. All. So how much was left? Well, nothing. That's what all means. He sold all that he had. That seemed to be asking a lot. He wasn't asked to do it. He volunteered to do it once he realized how valuable it really was. Everything. God asks you to give up something for the kingdom. And many of you may not be giving much up at all for it. But he asks, he says, if you realize how valuable it is, you're going to give up. You're going to give up time. I mean, the kingdom costs you time. It sure does. Cost you time. Cost you money. May cost you family. May cost you friends, possibly. Sometimes you can't hang on to the kingdom and hang on to your family and your friends at the same time. Jesus says, just make your choice, okay? Realize that if the kingdom is so valuable, if you want to hang on to it, it's going to cost you something. And of course, may cost you your life. Revelation 2:10, that's tonight's lesson. Letter written to the church at Smyrna. One of the things talked about is be faithful even to the point of dying. And I'll give you the crown of life. That's pretty costly. But do we treat the kingdom like it's that costly? Would people think that we thought the kingdom was very costly by how we lived? See, that's why we need to change. There was a few people in the Bible that didn't think it was very valuable. Remember the rich young ruler? Jesus has a conversation with him. He's a very devout, spiritual, religious person. I mean, this guy was a good guy. Jesus asked him about his life and about keeping the law, and he says, yes, I keep the law. I follow the commandments. I worship, I do this, and I do that, and I follow what God wants me to do. And Jesus knew that he was a good, devout, religious person. But Jesus also knew that he didn't realize how valuable what he had really was. And so Jesus was able to look into his mind and he said, well, this is how valuable it really is. So you need to take whatever you have and go sell it all and come follow me. Now, wait a minute. Jesus, that's a little too much to ask. Sell all that I have? I've got a lot. I don't want to give it up. So he didn't give it up. Why? Because he didn't realize how valuable Jesus was. That's why he didn't give it up. He wanted that. He wanted that stuff. And he didn't want to give it up. And Jesus knew that was a barrier for him to come and follow Jesus. So Jesus said, I know what you've got to do. That guy was kind of thinking, well, Jesus was a good teacher and maybe a prophet and maybe it would be worthwhile to follow him, but he's not worth that much. See the difference? When people understand how valuable Jesus is, how valuable his kingdom is, and you can't separate the two, they're willing to give up whatever it takes. Doesn't make any difference. So the rich young ruler didn't understand. What might I have to give up? I might have to give up a career. I might have to give up friends. I might have to give up some human traditions. Have you ever talked with someone about the kingdom? And you could tell that the barrier for them was human traditions. And they couldn't give those beliefs up. And those beliefs might have gone back for generations, but they couldn't give it up because they held those beliefs as being more valuable than the kingdom. See, they didn't realize what they had. They didn't realize the value of the kingdom. So they weren't going to give up those other things. Those things were too valuable to them. So they said, no, not going to do it. Well, why is the kingdom so valuable? Well, number one, it was planned before the beginning of time. That's one reason it was so valuable. It wasn't an afterthought. The church wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't something that God had to put in place because the Jews didn't accept His Son. Many people teach that, but it's false. The church, the kingdom, was planned before the beginning of time. That's one thing that makes it very valuable. Well, let's read the next parable because it teaches pretty much the same lesson. But one thing it adds, it's very important. Verse 45 and 6. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Well, the background and the idea is still the same. The difference is, and this is what makes it unique, is this guy was looking for it. And he may have been looking for this pearl for a long, long time. He may have been one of those merchants that had gone through life years and years, maybe decades, looking for that one pearl that was vastly above every other pearl. And he kept looking and he kept looking until he finally found it. He says, this pearl is the best. This is the unique one. That's the idea presented in that parable, is that this pearl is different from all other pearls. This is the unique pearl. And so when he found it, because he had been seeking it, looking for it for maybe a long time, he says, I'm going to give up everything I have. He might have had hundreds of other pearls, but they weren't unique pearls. Pearls today, and if you go looking for pearls in a jewelry store, you know the real ones. Of course, there are kind of artificial ones, and there are ones that are man-made by different people. The valuable ones are the real ones. In the past, people had to dive down into the beds and open up the shells to get pearls out. And guess what? Not every shell had a pearl in it. If I remember reading, it was like maybe 1 in 500, something like that. It's several hundred. I don't remember the exact number. It was 1 in several hundred. You'd have to open up before you'd find one. And of course, in the days before they had scuba gear and all that, everything else, and those beds were deep. It wasn't like you could go out and pick them up. Especially younger men would do this because they're younger. And to dive deep enough, they would have to tie, some heavy stone rock around their feet so they would sink far enough. And they could easily be 30 or 40 feet. If you've ever tried to dive 30 or 40 feet, not easy. So they would have to dive that far down, holding their breath during the time, and they would open up as many shells as possible. Well, if you have to open up 200 or 300, you're not going to open up 200 or 300 before you have to surface again for air. Then you'd have to dive again. Keep looking through more and more shells until you find a pearl. And then come back up. You can guess most pearl divers didn't reach a very old age. They all died young. Every one of them died young. Because you know that change in pressure greatly affects, especially your blood. And so people didn't live long. So they sacrificed their life for a few pearls. Why? Because they were very, very valuable, especially in the ancient world. This guy, this merchant, had been looking and looking and looking for that one unique pearl that was different than all the other pearls. Well, finally he found it. And when he found it, he realized, I have found something truly unique. So what did he do? He sold everything he had, all the other pearls he had, every good that he had, whatever he had, he sold it because he had found something unique. And it is a real joy to find somebody in the religious world who maybe have been a part of different religious groups over the years. Two individuals come to my mind that I've had personal contact with in my life. who had been part of various religious groups for years and years and years and years, but they were seekers. And then they finally found that pearl of great price. They finally found that one truly unique kingdom, church. And when they found it, they had to give up everything they had. Both of these two men gave up family, they gave up friends, they gave up all kinds of things because they found that one unique pearl. And they knew when they had found that they had found something unique. They had found something very valuable, and I know both of those men have had to continue to give up much in this world because they had found something that was the most valuable thing on earth. How would you protect? I don't know what the biggest diamond is now or what it's worth, but I'm sure it's tens, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know. But if you were asked to safeguard that overnight, would you consider anything? I mean, wouldn't you do everything in your power to safeguard it? Well, a diamond, even though it's beautiful, is just a lifeless piece of rock. Just a little piece of carbon. Kind of like the stuff you write in a pencil with. Pretty much the same stuff. No, your pencil is not valuable. But it's pretty much the same stuff. It's just formed a little differently. One's hardly worth anything. The other's worth millions. But it's still just some lifeless thing. Well, the kingdom is the most valuable thing ever. And so this man found that one unique pearl, and he said, whatever it costs me, I have to have it. I'll give up everything I have just to have that one pearl. And that's exactly what he did. You find people in the New Testament. Cornelius was such a man. He knew there was something unique about the kingdom, and he had to have it. He knew how valuable it was. I think there's some tremendous lessons as we kind of sum this up from these two, they're just three verses, two short little parables. One thing is people can recognize the kingdom. It's recognizable. People can know that this is the church of the New Testament. People can come to know that. It's not something that people can't know. They can find it. They can discover it. It is something discoverable. And when they discover it, they can know that this is the unique pearl. It's different than all the others. People can know that. We learn that from these two parables. People can know that what they have found is unique, and it's worth more than everything else. But why do so many Christians not treat it that way? That's what I want to see changed, is our view of the value of the kingdom. That's what Jesus wanted to teach, is the value of that kingdom. These parables also teach that God's going to reward those people who find the kingdom. They're out there, they're seeking it, they find it, and God's going to reward them for it. But of course, the sad thing is, there's so many people who simply don't realize the value of the kingdom. And if you could take the kingdom, what it represented in your life, and make it a box, and if someone could go to your house, where would they find that box? Would they find it in the most secure place that you have? Or again, you just have it thrown around somewhere, on the coffee table, on the dining room table. Because that would tell them how valuable you think the kingdom is. Just lying on the table or thrown under the bed or wherever. That's what Jesus wanted people to know in his day and ours too, is how valuable it is. And Jesus has been speaking to us this morning. This is the only way he speaks to us now. It's like sitting by that gramophone listening to that recording, listening for Jesus to say something to us. Well, He said something to us today. He's talked to us today. He's told us that the kingdom is worth everything you have. You have to give up family, you have to give up family. If you have to give up friends, you give up friends. If you have to give up your career that you want to pursue or that you have, Jesus says, give it up. Because this is a truly unique pearl. And it's worth everything imaginable to your life. Because all those other things will go by the wayside. But He says, this is what has real, lasting worth. Two things, very important. Once you know about the pearl, are you willing to become part of that great kingdom by experiencing the new birth, talked about in John 3, having your sins washed away? Or is that something you're not willing to give up? You don't consider it valuable enough. Number two, where's that box in your house? Is it on the coffee table, dining room table, thrown around? Is that what you think of the kingdom? Or is it in the most secure place imaginable? Because if it's not, Jesus knows where it is. Jesus knows what you think of the kingdom and how much it's worth. And now, as I mentioned at the beginning, I hope this has changed your outlook on the kingdom. And maybe it's changed your outlook enough to where you need to respond. And admit that you haven't held it in very high esteem. But you want to change. And if you do, I encourage you to make that response as we stand and sing this song.